The Taliban launched a coordinated attack overnight on two Afghan army outposts in western Herat province. They killed more than a dozen soldiers and took 21 others prisoner. This is the latest in a series of attacks on the country's beleaguered security forces. U.S. troops have been fighting in Afghanistan since 2001, and they are also taking casualties. Six Americans have been killed in action there since November. Reporter Jennifer Glass joins us from Kabul. Jennifer, welcome to Here and Now.
Hey, Lisa.
We're also joined by Jason Dempsey, senior fellow at the Center for a New American Security. He's a retired Army officer who served two tours in Afghanistan and one in Iraq. Jason, welcome to you.
Thank you very much. Just first off, given the recent developments around the media and attitudes toward, I just want to say thank you to you and your team for playing this essential role of free press and democracy. And folks like Jennifer, who are overseas reporting for years on end and getting the story to the American people from dangerous places. Thank you for your service.
Thanks, Jason.
Thank you. And yeah, Jennifer, why don't we start there? You have been in Afghanistan for how many years now?
Seven and a half.
So you have seen a lot of the kind of attacks such as what we heard about in Herat province last night. Maybe you can tell us what this means for people on the ground there.
Well, it's been a really dangerous time. Here in Kabul last month, a number of brutal attacks killed dozens and dozens of people, one of them killing 55 people during a religious ceremony while they were actually reading the Quran. That was carried out by the Islamic State. The attack last night in Herat was carried out by the Taliban, killing more than a dozen Afghan soldiers. The Afghans are taking punishing casualties, an average of about 25 deaths a day, with many more than that injured every day. The incoming general of the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Kenneth McKenzie, calls that unsustainable. He also admits that Taliban have fought the Afghan security forces to a stalemate. And we have seen Taliban attacks around the country. They control or contest about half of the country, Lisa, and really very much a sense of how much they do control. They've been levying taxes on the people that they, in the areas over which they have control, pretty regularly. They have their own institutions. They have their own courts. So in the areas that they control, they certainly have a real system of running that area. And many of those areas, the government can't go or really has very little influence.
Jason Dempsey, you have spent time deployed in Afghanistan. What does it sound to you like when you hear how much control and how much of a even bureaucracy the Taliban has set up there? Because that's exactly what American forces were helping Afghan forces or trying to help them avoid.
The Taliban are succeeding politically. I think Mattis recently said that the Taliban can't win at the ballot box. Well, they're not winning at the ballot box, but they're winning at the local level. They are setting up services. They are establishing legitimacy for good or ill in these outlying provinces. In Helmand, they've essentially had partnerships with Afghan government, kind of working hand in hand in a very unofficial, official way. It shows that they're looking at this from the long game, and they are doing the most fundamental thing is they're winning local political battles. Meanwhile, we, part of the coalition forces and the Afghans, are trying to win this national battle all at once.
When you say we're trying to win it all at once, we've been there for 17 years now.
Absolutely. And part of the fundamental challenge of this is we are trying to create both a government and a military that looks like ours instead of one that works for Afghanistan. And so we've got this wildly resourced force that has all the tools and resources that the American military can provide them, but they can still barely hold their own against Taliban fighters. And it's certainly not for a lack of firepower. It's for a lack of political legitimacy.
And Jennifer, how do you interpret that? I mean, you said 25 Afghan troops are killed every day. What is the legitimacy that's missing?
Jason makes a very, very good point. Look, on the ground, a lot of people believe a lot of what the Taliban stand for, that they want an Islamic country, that they want, in many cases, rule of law. Corruption is a huge frustration, and that is, I think, a very big hindrance to the Afghan government because you see corrupt officials, you see corrupt police. Here in Kabul, it's very difficult to enforce the rule of law. Just this week, a block and a half from my house, there was a court order that the attorney general general and security forces tried to enforce. The folks inside didn't want to give up the property in a very prosperous area of Kabul, Sharinau. They fired an RPG at those police, and a 24-hour siege went on. This is rule of law in the center of Kabul, to give you a sense of what the security situation is, to give you a sense of how people view the government. And of course, we have these strong men around the country who have power of their own, either through money or through their own militias. They are the enforcers in those areas. And I think that's the big challenge for the government and its legitimacy.
We heard this week from Marine Lieutenant General McKenzie. He's the man who was nominated to command all American forces in the Middle East. He called the Afghan war a stalemate, which we have heard before. He was also asked a question about what he would say to Americans and Afghans who wonder why their loved ones are still being killed in this war. And here's what he said.
Sir, what we are doing is we are protecting the homeland of the United States from being attacked. That's what you say to the Americans, and that's a clear, visible, tangible effort that we can honor them for. For the Afghans who have died, it's an attempt to come to a long, peaceful political settlement in their country, and I think that, too, is an honorable goal. I think Afghans and Americans who've died in action in Afghanistan have all been pursuing an honorable and reasonable objective.
Jason, you were one of those soldiers in Afghanistan. What's your response to that?
I don't think the question is, what is the mission, right? We all understand what the mission is about. We understand why we initially went there. The question is really about, how do we explain our continued failure? The question has to boil down to, is this really the best we can do? And have we examined all alternatives? Have we questioned some fundamental assumptions? Or are we just going to keep on with more and more of the same year after year after
year? What assumptions are you talking about?
Well, for one, the assumption, you know, we started with this idea that we could create an Afghan state in our image. And one of the fundamental conundrums exposed by the Trump administration's supposed new strategy was, well, we're not going to do nation building. Well, that's fine. But what we're doing is we're still building a military in Afghanistan and a government structure that assumes a Western-style nation exists. And so we're sending this military out there that, again, only exists and can only be sustained with years and years and billions of dollars of American support, and they're losing or they're being held to stalemate against an enemy with vastly fewer resources. So we really have to get at, this isn't a military problem to be solved. And unless we want to stay there forever, we really need to get back at, how do we get to a point where Afghan National Security Forces and the Afghan government can assert some kind of legitimacy, because they may be winning in toe-to-toe battles, but they're losing hearts and minds.
Jennifer Glass, in Kabul, the Trump administration has been holding direct talks with the Taliban. The Afghan government is holding talks with the Taliban as well. What are you hearing about those?
Well, Zalmay Khalilzad, who is the U.S. Special Envoy for Reconciliation here, was just in Kabul yesterday. He flew to Moscow. He's on his third trip around the region in as many months. There's a lot of urgency on the American side to get things started. And so the Afghan government hasn't spoken to the Taliban yet. There was a high Peace Commission group that did sit with the Taliban in Moscow last month. These have so far been talks about talks, but there is certainly a sense of urgency on the part of the United States. You've seen Khalilzad here in the region quite a lot, talking. He's been in countries, Qatar, in the Emirates, in Pakistan, countries that host Taliban leaders, trying to figure out who he can negotiate with. The Afghan government has put together an initial negotiating team. The real question is, what do the Taliban want? Are these real talks? Will they actually really lead to anything? There was a big moment of hope in June. There was a three-day ceasefire, the first ceasefire in 40 years of war. And there was a lot of enthusiasm and hope when Taliban fighters were here in Kabul looking for ice cream stands. And you see them wandering around the streets of Kabul, and they hadn't been in this city in 17 years. And of course, it's grown. It was about 500,000 then. It's more than 5 million now. It gives you the sense that the people really want peace. The question is, how do you get there? And there is a lot of feeling here that perhaps the Taliban's latest offensives are really about trying to give them more leverage on the ground in any future peace negotiations.
Any final word from you on hearing that, Jason Dempsey?
the result of these talks or any kind of peace negotiation with the Taliban, we're ultimately going to get something that falls very short of our original goals. And this is where we really need not just military leadership, but political leadership to get in and explain to the American people how we're meeting our fundamental mission. But you know what? We've got to give up a few things. The Taliban are going to be – they're going to have a say. And Afghanistan is not going to look like the United States. It's going to look like Afghanistan, like it always has been. The question is, how do we create that or get to a point where Afghanistan can be Afghanistan and still not be a threat to the United States?
Jason Dempsey, Senior Fellow at the Center for a New American Security, and reporter Jennifer Glass in Kabul. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Great to talk to you.